We had a lot of personal loss this week. We also lost an important rabbi, Larry Troster. And every so often, I like to bring a memory of a rabbi who maybe is not so well known for the general Jewish world, but who still had a profound effect. Sometimes those are rabbis, and they operate in a different realm, and rabbis are aware of them. Sometimes they work institutionally. And in addition to his congregational work, Larry, who I had the opportunity to meet a couple of times, was a very important and one of the first rabbis to really pull out our texts around environmental issues. He sat on COGIL and was one of the founders and really was an important person. And I'll talk a little bit about his environmental legacy tomorrow. We'll touch on that. But he has a wonderful YouTube video, which is well worth seeing if you never have, in which he talks about the difference between spirituality and religion. Spirituality and religion. And spirituality, as he understands it, and it's an understanding I share, is really something universal, human. That the first time that we were able to look up to the stars and be aware and understand that we are part of something so much greater than our own lives, that sense of awe or gratitude or connection, that's spirituality. And every tradition has it, and every people has moments of it. But religion is when it's that aspect of spirituality becomes communal. It's when that instinct and those moments take form through story and narrative and ritual and get encoded within a particular people's way of describing that sense of wonder, that sense that there is a voice and an order and a meaning to the world. And in that way, there's a particularism to religion. I think that's a really important concept. And then Larry takes it a little bit further. And he says that in our day, there's two types of people in terms of religion. There are people who take religion literally and people who take it seriously. Literally and seriously. And that sort of distinction really rang out to me this week because we are in Parshat Behar. And there's a lot of really interesting material in this section of the Torah, including material around slaves and labor law and how to treat employees. And there is this command in there that when it comes to your fellow person, your Jewish neighbor, that you cannot have slaves, and that slaves are released. If you have an indentured servant, they're released after 7 years at most. And there's exceptions. And it's a beautiful notion in a world that was filled with slavery that the Torah came out and said no, that human dignity is somehow greater. But if you pay very careful attention to the verse and its surroundings, you'll notice it says, Achicha, your fellow person who's like you. And so Judaism has to own the fact that in the days of the Torah and the Bible, you were allowed to own non-Jewish slaves. And if we were literalists, we would still accept that. And I have to argue that there are people who are literalists in that, who do continue to draw tremendous distinctions, who view non-Jews with suspicion, who sometimes frown on them or have an undue suspicion, some suspicion in this world. There's a room for that. And the person who takes religion seriously, though, knows that in multiple places, in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, in slightly different language, there is a statement in the Torah that comes out again and again and says there will be one law for all of you, for the stranger and the resident alike, for the Jew and the non-Jew. And it's beautiful. And I wager that if you're sitting in here today, that's a very comfortable understanding, because I bet none of us think non-Jews should be slaves, right? If you think non-Jews should be slaves, raise your hand. We'll have a talk afterwards. But you know what? I can't let us off that easy. Because I think there are ways that we still, if we take our religion seriously, that we still make those distinctions. And for me, where my attention is caught so deeply is the way that achicha, your fellow, doesn't apply for the houseless in our city. We have as high a cap, we have one of the worst per capita rates of homelessness of any place in the country. LA's got a lot more people, they have a lot more homeless. And when we go downtown and we see the disaster it is, and we know it impacts businesses, and we know it makes tourists turned off, and we know that people here don't want to come, there is a way, though, that we can switch our minds and say, Lo achicha, they're not me, they're other. There's a way in which, if we take our religion seriously, how we confront that othering instinct is an important part of getting back to that spirituality, that connection. And for us here, we are working very hard to create a model that we can scale up, and we've got not one now, but two homes being built on our premises. Second one came, and we'll be doing more over the summer. And we're going to scale that up, and we're going to work with our partners, and we're going to build 500 of these things. 500 across the city and across the state. Now, you know, because the problem, ultimately, if we take our religion seriously, is every one of ours. And it's not something that we can just offload to our government. Our government doesn't have the money to house 5,000 homeless people. But still, there must be one law for everyone. There has to be a way for human dignity, for that sense of connection that we see when we look to the stars and when we look into someone else's eyes to connect to us. And that, to me, is the message of Bahar, if we take religion seriously and not literally. Shabbat shalom.